This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from Isaiah, the 50th chapter, 4 through 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, 27 through 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading. Who is this fellow Jesus that everybody is going on about? That's the question you would have heard on the streets in the first century. Who is this fellow Jesus that everyone is going on about? That's a deceptively deep question. Today, if I ask, who is this Jesus fellow everyone is going on about, I'm going to get some peculiar, and I'd be willing to bet some hostile looks. Everybody in the 21st century America thinks they know who Jesus is. Everybody in 21st century America is wrong about that, as we'll soon see. To begin with, each of us has a different concept of who this Jesus is, and they can't all be right. Whatever our notions about Jesus, the reality of Jesus is always greater. That doesn't stop us from trying to catch Jesus in our own nets, and it never has. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus isn't fishing for compliments here. He's laying a foundation for a great teaching. We understand new things by comparing them to more familiar things or people. To what shall we compare Jesus? What if this new thing has no comparison? This is the teaching, and the disciples' answers demonstrate that people are not yet aware of just how unique Jesus is. And they answered him, John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. The people of the time are identifying Jesus with religious figures of the past. No one suggested that Jesus was like Herod or Caesar. They suggested religious figures, and more than that, dead religious figures. Well, fair enough. The crowds that we have seen around Jesus know him only as a miracle worker, so it's not surprising that they would associate him with other honored miracle workers. Jesus has primed the pump and now needs to get personal. He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." Peter answers that he is the Messiah, but what in the world does that mean to us? The Interpreter's Bible that you so kindly purchased for me has this to say, and I thought they really nailed it. Most Christians today find Christological titles like Messiah and Son of God so shopworn that they are devoid of meaning. The difficulty is not that they might convey inappropriate expectations about the ministry of Jesus, but that they do not convey any expectations at all. We understand things by their common characteristics with other better known things. To what shall we compare Jesus? How can I recreate in you the sort of stir this Jesus was causing without resorting to shop-worn terms that no longer convey any expectation of Jesus' ministry at all? I found a way. Took me nearly all week, but I found a way. And I found it in Dave Pack's miracle book. You remember the miracle book I told you the other day about. It belonged to his grandparents. He took it from their library when they passed because of the goofy title. And then he lent it to me and let me read it. And frankly, I lost my mind over it. It's just so beautifully written. Here's how the author imagines Matthew's encounter with Jesus. Matthew was sitting deep in thought at the gate of that eastern town which Jesus called his native city. I imagine him sitting 1900 years ago at the gate of the town receiving taxes. The gate was a narrow building with towers. Beyond it stretched the dusty road lined with palms. Farther on rose a hill with knotty olive trees. Long camel trains moved towards the town. Saddle horses and donkeys carried their burdens. Matthew sat in the gate, reflecting on the fact that everybody hated him. Neither Jews nor Romans would deign to glance at him. Publicans were treated as criminals. Anyone eating and drinking with them was branded as their like. Matthew felt oppressed, not only as a member of his profession, but in his own soul. He knew himself to be an honest man doing his duty, for if someone did not collect taxes, would not the Romans destroy their homes? Yet the general intangible contempt placed him in the lowest grade of society, actually on a par with criminals. As he sat in the gate of the town, the moon rose and shed its silver light on the gate and the palms beyond. Messengers began to arrive. One came with the news that the King of the Jews had come. Matthew wondered whether he would drive up clad in purple, riding in a shining chariot drawn by prancing horses. A second messenger reported that it was not a king who had arrived, but someone far greater. Matthew wondered if he would overthrow emperors and kings, or set the scribes to rights and give a new interpretation of the law of Moses. Still others came who had seen neither a king nor a prophet, but one whose footsteps were followed by the poor, by sinners, by children, one whose like the earth had never seen, the apostle of love and of suffering, who lifted up the oppressed and turned the weary into conquerors. To what shall we compare one whose like the earth has never seen? Who is this Jesus that everyone is going on about? In Dave's miracle book, Matthew receives word that a king is on his way, but Jesus is not a king in that sense. Then someone far greater than a king was coming who might overthrow kings and emperors. Then someone who would give a fresh interpretation of the law of Moses. Still others came, though, who had seen neither a king nor a prophet, but one whose footsteps were followed by the poor, by sinners, by children, one whose like the earth had never seen, the apostle of love and suffering. Who is this Jesus that everyone is going on about? To what shall we compare him? Jesus himself answers the question for us. He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered him not to tell anyone about him. No, this Jesus cannot be compared to anything else. Jesus is the Messiah, but comparing Jesus to the word Messiah is to reduce Jesus to the hearers' notions of who the Messiah is. Jesus is one whose like the earth had never seen beyond human notions, beyond language. Jesus ordered Peter and the others not to tell anyone about him. Instead, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly. Have we, you and I, the courage to abandon the concepts and shop-worn words we apply to Jesus so as to embrace the reality of him? Peter did not, and Jesus spoke to him harshly. Have we that courage which first eluded Peter? To follow Jesus is to walk the path of pain he walked. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. Can you do it, church? Amen. Please join me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We call Jesus the king, but kings don't suffer. Jesus teaches that he must undergo great suffering. We call him teacher, but Jesus tells us that he must be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribe. We call Jesus Messiah, the Savior, but Jesus teaches that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. To what shall we compare this Jesus? Until we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God's children replied, Amen.